Have a year under our belt together of 18 games of working together and understanding the things he does and the things he's comfortable with. All that adding up has just put us in a much better space at this time this year than maybe this time a year ago. It's night and day of kind of where we're at.
Bucks Radio 92.9 The Game. That's Sark. This is Steve Sarkisian, offensive coordinator for our Atlanta Falcons. Welcome back to the program. 12:03 coming up on 12:04, flagship station, Atlanta Falcons, Hawks, Atlanta United. Sports Radio 92.9 again. Greg Patman, ooh, a.k.a. Greg Patton, producing tonight's program. All right, so the first hour we talked predominantly about the Atlanta Braves. Braves beat Miami Marlins 5-2, the final. And with that victory, they remained two games atop the NL East after sweeping the Marlins. But the big story, Ronald Acuña Jr. trying to extend his home run streak, had it stalled. Well, not necessarily stalled, because I guess officially he really didn't appear at the plate, although we all saw him appear at the plate, and he got hit by a pitch by Jose Ureña. And by the way, we were just looking up the producer, Greg Patton, was telling me about how that 97-mile-an-hour pitch was his fastest pitch of the season. So that tells me, obviously, the young man was amped and juiced and it wasn't like a normal situation. I personally feel as though he tried to hit Ronald Acuña Jr. to try to stop his shine. Don't know why, but that's what happened. All right, so what happened this past weekend with our Atlanta Falcons? They went up to East Rutherford, New Jersey to take on the New York Jets and took an L, took a donut, brought a donut back home, 17-0 in the final. And is there reason to be concerned? Well, it's preseason. I mean, we can always go to that and say that it's preseason, but when you hear so much positive energy, so much brotherhood talk, so much of how the guys are working hard, we're playing well, you know, seeing a lot of improvement, et cetera, I guess the expectation did not, the outcome did not reach the expectation. I know from a fan's point, I know that. I mean, it's, I got to say, man, that probably was one of the worst, if not worst, preseason games I've seen the Atlanta Falcons play. However, one of the reasons why I'm encouraged is because it gives me that much more reason to believe that coming out on Friday against the Kansas City Chiefs about, you know, playing such a stink of a game in the opening preseason game, that you're going to see a marked improvement in this second preseason game. We'll see a little bit more of the starters. And if I'm in that locker room, I would have probably been so embarrassed by the performance that I would have gone to Coach Quinn and said, hey, look, man, this second game, starters, we're going to have to play more, even more than usual, just to get some rhythm and to establish some type of order. And I get it. I know it's not the regular season, but at the same time, you do want to see a payoff from the performances that you were supposedly having during the during your training camp, right? You don't want to go out in all four games have clunkers where the offense is not moving, the defense ain't clicking, ain't getting to the ball quickly enough, and then you're trying to go out in front of a national television audience on a Thursday night to play against the defending Super Bowl champions and expect, here's the key word now, expect to be able to turn the light switch on in the regular season opener on a Thursday night in front of all of America. And there will be some pressure. There's definitely going to be some pressure, especially to those new guys. And if you're coming off of a negative energy or a negative preseason schedule, where you're not winning, that's, I can tell you, that's not a good look, and history does not bode well if that's going to be the situation, which I don't think it will be. I think our Falcons will win in the preseason and go ahead and rectify the ship. I think they're going to come out with an added fervor on this Friday. Even though it's just a preseason game, I look for the Falcons to come out with a little more sense of urgency on both sides of the football. Special teams as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. My name is Dwayne Walker. So glad you could take time out of your busy schedule to listen to the program. It is now officially Thursday, and with Thursday comes what? First day of Corky Kill Classic. The 27th annual Metro PC Corky Kill Classic, which will take place over three venues. Barron Stadium, historic Barron Stadium on Rome, Georgia. It'll be Thursday, a little later tonight, actually. And then Friday, it'll be a little closer to home, closer to the city. Georgia State Stadium will host a doubleheader. And then there'll be five games held on Saturday at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. And I had an opportunity to go to the Corky Kell Luncheon today over at the Marriott, right adjacent to or right next to, however you want to describe it, SunTrust Park. And it was a pleasure seeing all of the teams out there represented, all 18 teams represented, and had some pleasant conversations, an opportunity to speak with Dave Hunter, executive director of the Corky Kell Classic. Had a chance to speak to several coaches, including Kyle Hockman, Rush Probst, Shannon Jarvis, and a few others. And, man, just I can't wait for the action. And in the finale on Saturday, for the first time ever, there will be an Atlanta Public School in the mix. An Atlanta Public School will be in this year's Corky Kell Classic. It will be Mays representing. They'll go against Norcross in the finale, scheduled for 8:45 on Saturday. And speaking of which, shouts out to Coach Battle. Hope you're feeling a little better over there at Mays. All right, it's 10 minutes after the hour of 12 here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We're talking some football. We were talking earlier about the Atlanta Falcons and hoping that they won't come out firing a dud this upcoming Friday against the Kansas City Chiefs. And by the way, you can catch that game right here on the flagship station. 5 o'clock is the pregame, and the kickoff will commence at 7 o'clock p.m. Atlanta Falcons taking on the Kansas City Chiefs at home. You know what I think? One of the cool things I love when they do that little time capsule thing where they have to switch the fields over. Like, I wonder if they're just going to leave the Atlanta Falcons stuff up or are they going to put the Corky Kell Classic stuff up? Because the Falcons play on Friday, and then the Corky Kell Classic, they've got, you know, five games beginning at like 9 in the morning, 9 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. So I'm just trying to figure out if they're going to have enough time to flip the field. Well, of course they will. They'll have time to do it, and they'll do it big. I wonder if they're going to open the roof on Saturday, too. Is it supposed to? Anybody know what the weather forecast is supposed to be for Saturday? Hopefully it won't rain. But, hey, that's why we have Mercedes. Oh, dear. Oh, can I say that out loud? Well, listen, that's why we have a dome, because if it rains, we just cover the folks up. I mean, it's really that simple, right? All right, so check this out. Before we transition into our next subject, I'm going to go ahead and just kind of get you ready. Do you realize that today, all right, right now, here in Atlanta, right now, today as we speak, we have concurrently, let's see. Hey, Patman, I have a quick question for you. Concurrently, is there ever a time when all five sports are going on at the same time? Help me out on that. Is there ever a time when all five major sports, I'm talking about football, baseball, basketball, hockey, and soccer, are they all going on at the same time at any point during the year?
It would be mid-October or November for it to even get close. But the problem is you've got preseasons for different ones in the midst of when others are ending.
No, I want to go regular season. So.
But you can't add soccer because soccer has international time zones. So different times
MLS,
a year, soccer's playing.
I'm talking about as it relates to our teams. Like, so I guess a better example would be if we have Atlanta Thrashers, which we don't. If we had an NHL team, would that commence? Would the Falcons be playing? Would the Hawks be playing? And would the Braves be playing all at the same time? No? They're debating about it. Jared and
we're talking about October, but I mean it's very hit or miss depending on when preseasons begin and end.
Well, listen. Let me go ahead and say this. Now, the same guy I'm going to go ahead and pat myself on the back down. Pat man. Whoa. Now, the same guy, and I'm sure I was one of the very few, maybe the 1% out, the same guy that told you that last year the Georgia Bulldogs would win the SEC and the Alabama Crimson Tide would be one of the four teams in the football playoff, which they were, the same guy that told you that is telling you that our Atlanta Braves, are you sitting down for this? Are you listening to this? Man, I think this might be the Atlanta Braves year. Like, on the sneak tip. Like, for real. Look, he's got a little Pittsburgh Pirates hat on. He's got a little Bucks hat on. So he's not feeling what I'm saying. I get it, man. The room split. I get it. Jerry, who you roll with? I thought you were a Braves fan, though, right? So you're supposed to be on my side. But Pat immediately put his head down when I simply said, I got this feeling, man, that this Braves team, and look, I might sound critical because I was the one that also said that the Braves would only win 75 games, which I was obviously, well, I'm not wrong yet because they still could not get there. But you get what I'm getting at, right? Hey, listen, I'm man enough if I say something, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong, okay? And if we get to that point, I will say that. But it just came to me, man. I'm just thinking, man. Who knows, man?
Dwayne, you're taking shots at somebody whose baseball team right now every day has a headline that says, and another stupid move by the Pittsburgh Pirates. They decide to start a AAA pitcher when they're four games out of the wild card. So it's okay, Dwayne. It's okay to take shots.
All right. No problem, man. I'm just getting that feeling, man. I feel what the Braves got going on, man. Can be kind of special, man. I mean, they've garnered the respect of other teams throughout the world of baseball, have they not? Throughout Major League Baseball. Would you say that our Atlanta Braves, right now, as we sit here and we speak, are the Atlanta Braves a respectable brand right now as far as what they got going on the field? I say absolutely. Hey, Joe, I'm going to try to sneak your phone call in right quick. How you doing, man? You all right?
Yeah.
What's going on, Joe? You all right?
Yeah.
What do you want to talk about, man? Right quick, because Pat Man's going to get upset with me. Go ahead.
Yeah, man. I was just calling in about the whole preseason talk about the Falcons.
Yeah.
And it's like, we got to relax on that. It's, you know, let the coaches evaluate the players so that they can know, you know, through adverse situations, who performs, who rise, who shine. You got to remember the 2007 Patriots went 2-2, and during the regular season, they went 16-0. Yeah, they lost Super Bowl, but I'm just saying, it's preseason.
Yeah, man, but you do realize, man, no team in the modern era, and don't say 1982 because that wasn't the year that would qualify. But man, you got to win a preseason game, man, and win the Super Bowl, man. History has shown that. I'm into history and what and trends and patterns and all that other stuff, man. Appreciate the phone call. Here's one for you. Do you realize that Jose Arena, the pitcher that got tossed out by the Marlins after hitting Ronald Acuña Jr.? Now, here's a number for you, okay? There have been four pitchers in the history of Major League Baseball who have started a game, thrown a pitch, and gotten tossed out with the very first pitch of the game. Only four players. Congratulations, Jose Arena. You wanted to make history. You wanted to stop history, but you've actually made history. Oh, my goodness. So who are the top 10 youngest stars in any sport here in Atlanta? I'm going to come up with a list, and I challenge you to come up with one, too. Top 10. And listen, this town has 10 legitimate young all-stars, and I'm going to name them. Next, you listen to Sports Chat with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the program. Sports Rapper Dwayne Walker. Great Pat Man. Ooh. I think I added an extra Pat Man in there. Welcome back to the program. 12:23 and ticking. Hey, listen, man. I got a question for you. We are in the city of what? We're in the city of Atlanta. And come on, man, you know how we are. We like stars. We like stars. So I got to thinking, man, we're surrounded by all this talent, young talent, all right? Young talent. Who, in your opinion, are the top 10 sports stars here in the city of, in the state of Georgia, all right? In the state of Georgia. Now, before you, now listen, I got to go ahead and, put out the parameters here. When I say a legitimate young star, I ain't talking about, no disrespect, I ain't talking about Matt Ryan. I ain't even talking about Julio Jones. I'm not talking about Devontae Freeman. I'm just talking about just legitimate young stars where I was like, if I say, yeah, well, such is a star, you'd be like, yeah, I can see that. I can see him as a young, hot Atlanta star. All right? So I'm going to throw these names out, and you tell me if you agree. All right? And I've actually got more than 10, but I'll just go ahead and give you 10 just to get it crack-a-lacking. All right? Here we go. I'll start with the Georgia Bulldogs. All right? Start with the Georgia Bulldogs. And you can take your pick. Take your pick right here. Jake Fromm, who led the Georgia Bulldogs to the national championship game last year. All right? As a freshman. All right? He's a legitimate star, a young star here in Georgia. All right? Here's a young man who hasn't even played a college football game, but he's already a young star in the city of Atlanta. I'm talking about quarterback Justin Fields. He hadn't tossed a college. What? Did you just say that's BS? Is that what you said? Patton, the producer? Is that what he said over there? He didn't say that? Oh, okay. I thought he said that. How about DeAndre Swift? I'll just give you 3 off Georgia's roster. DeAndre Swift, right? You don't go with him yet? Too early for him? Okay.
I went with all pros on mine, so that's why I'm shaking my head. I'm not going to put college kids on here because I have no idea. What they actually are.
All right, well, I'll go straight pro with you right quick. Okay? Atlanta United, bona fide stars, Joseph Martinez. And when I say under 25, Joseph Martinez, Miguel Almiron, that's 2 right there. Atlanta Hawks, legitimate stars now. John Collins, who played in the rookie first year, second. What? Pat Man.
I like Prince and I like Collins. They did not make my list.
Trey Young and John Collins. Atlanta Falcons. Deion Jones. Devo. And here's one that you might not even agree with. All right? But listen, I think Lyman should get love too. He's a local product. I think Grady Jarrett, man, is like a young star here in Atlanta. Why are you smiling? You don't agree with that one?
Because
dude, check it out.
I actually put mine in list and numbers.
If the Falcons had won the Super Bowl a couple years, if ifs and whats were berries and nuts, it would be Christmas every day of the year or something like that. But listen, man, Grady Jarrett.
10 is Ridley.
Star.
9 is Trey Young. Oh, 8 is Grady.
See, there you go, taking my shine. Go ahead, read your list. Go ahead.
7's Ozzie Albies. Uh-huh. 6 is Tito Vizjalba. You missed on the United one. 5 is Coleman. He's 25 this year.
7 you're going with?
Tevin's going to be one of the most sought-after running backs free agents next year after this year.
All right.
And I'll tell you why. 4 is Miguel.
All right.
3 is Acuna.
Uh-huh.
2 is Deion. Joseph's number 1.
Wait. Joseph's number 1? Listen, now granted, Joseph Martinez is on an absolute tear. As far as goal scoring is concerned. Dude, he's got like, how many goals he had? 26 this year already? Oh, that is like, that's insane. That's like even, I think.
He's outscored 4 MLS teams on his own.
I think the most goals anyone has ever scored in a soccer league, in a professional soccer league, is something like 37 or something like that. Something like ridiculous like that. And he is just bonkers. The boy going berserk. He's going berserk. All right, so here's my list right quick, man. I call them stars, man. And in order to be a star, you would have had to make some type of impact, all right? So here we go. I got Jake Fromm, led us in the national championship game, quarterback, Georgia Bulldogs. I got Justin Fields, who hasn't even played a college down yet, but he's one of the most sought-after quarterbacks in all of America, all right? Georgia Tech, I got quarterback Taquan Marshall. That's right. Did he not come out with a bang? Did he not score five touchdowns, responsible for five touchdowns in his first ever collegiate football game? Star. Atlanta Braves, Ronald Acuna Jr., we know what he's doing, right? He's making all types of history. Ozzie Albies, 20-something odd home runs already on the year amongst the Major League Baseball's leaders. Atlanta Falcons, Deion Jones, third-year pro, doing it big. He's going to be paid a lot of money. Grady Jarrett would have been the Super Bowl MVP, maybe, had the Falcons won, although I think they would have given it to your boy Matt Ryan because he's a quarterback, because he had an awesome quarterback rating for the Super Bowl despite the loss. All right? Atlanta Hawks, John Collins played in the first, second-year NBA rookie game, if you will, that just passed. And then Trae Young, who has not played a NBA regular season game. He's played in the summer, but not a regular season game or a preseason game. He's obviously a bona fide star for what he did in college. Leading the nation in scoring and assists, that is phenomenal. And then, of course, Atlanta United FC, Joseph Martinez and Miguel Amaron. These guys are all, in my opinion, like legitimate stars. And keep in mind, I have not mentioned on the Falcons Matt Ryan, too old to be considered for this particular list, as well as our wide receiver, whose name just Julio Jones, excuse me. It just escaped me all of a sudden. Yeah. So they're not even on the list because I don't consider them young stars. I mean, look, how old is Julio now? 29?
29. Freeman misses the list at 26.
Yeah.
And also Mike Foltynewicz for the Braves misses the list at 26 as well.
Yeah. Yep. And, but you know what? Would you consider Sean Newcomb a star? Not yet, right? Not yet. Listen, I'm still ticked off that the umpire didn't punch him to get his no-hit bid a couple weeks ago. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is 12:30. Now make that 12:31. Are you live? Are you coming on live? You're not? Oh, okay. Golly. Oh, well, you have to excuse me. Anyway, coming up at 12:40. We got a radio replay. You all right, Jared?
I'm good.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah, man.
What the hell are you doing here? It's 12:30. What are you doing here? Like, I wasn't expecting you coming to the studio. Like, I thought that, you know, I have my own little private space, and I'm not complaining. I'm not, but sometimes you could be walking through a war zone. I'm just going to give you a heads up. But what are you doing here?
We kind of had a busy night with the phenom 20-year-old getting his arm almost knocked off with a baseball.
So what's the update on him? Since you're in my face now, I'm going to use you. I'm going to utilize your talents.
Okay.
What is the latest on Ronald Acuna Jr.? He got hit by a pitch. Jose Urania, what's his status right now? Is he out for the season?
It sounds like the x-rays came back negative, which is good news.
Yes.
CT scans will be released tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
So, yes.
Today?
Today.
Tomorrow is in Friday or today is in Thursday?
Today is in Thursday.
Today is in Thursday.
I don't know what day it is. I don't know what time it is.
What are you anticipating since x-rays were negative? Based on what you saw, do you think he's day-to-day? Do you think he'll play in the next series? What do you think his status is?
I wouldn't be surprised if they put him on the 10-day disabled list that they can do nowadays. Maybe, you know, bring up somebody to fill that void. Maybe Tukey's one of those guys you bring up and to give guys not as a direct replacement, but to kind of remind because if he was the 26th man to come up for that doubleheader. I don't think we've seen the last of him.
He could be a star, too.
That's an aside. Thanks again, Arizona, for that. We literally just bought your first-round pick.
Right.
But after watching Ronald Acuna's knee almost blow up and then it didn't, I'm not convinced he's not just the Predator and he just goes
Maybe
and hangs out for a minute.
On down, right.
He just hangs out for a minute, everything self-repairs, and he's good to go.
Yeah. Listen, man, you're from a younger generation, right? I'm old school.
In theory.
I'm old school. You new school, man. How do you youngsters feel about this tit for tat? Like I hit you, you hit me. Like I heard Keith Hernandez say some rather disturbing remarks a little earlier on his broadcast about how Ronald Acuña Jr. should have been beaned by Jose Urania, which I completely disagree with, because you can physically hurt people. Like he could have gotten hit in the baseball and like become disabled. You follow what I'm saying? It's not something that you should just play around with.
So it's something I always heard growing up. Like that's the old school rules of baseball, and that's kind of like it's the old story about the lemmings. Like, why do we run off the cliff? Because that's just what we do. Why do we do things like that in baseball? That's just right. What we do. And there comes a certain point. For me, it was like in my late teens, early 20s. It's like, but why?
Right.
Why?
So I'm asking the question. Why wasn't he immediately tossed out of the game? Jose Urania should have been immediately ejected. The umpires, he didn't need to. Why are you shaking your head, Patton? He did not need to consult with the first base umpire, the third base. He should have just tossed him.
Because I think they were just going to let it kind of. I think they were going to use it. I think they were going to use it as a warnings and say, okay,
right.
We're going to hand out warnings. And then as everything escalated, and Eric Young went in there and was about that business.
Oh, he's about to throw hands. He pushed some players. Did he not?
Eric Young Sr. became a hero to a lot of people tonight.
Yeah. Him and Brian Snicker.
When they saw the situation evolve into what it was, they knew they had to throw him out right then to make sure that nothing else happened.
But they should have nipped it right. He should have nipped it right.
I don't disagree.
Right there, he should have. It wouldn't have escalated to that. Ronald Acuña would, maybe perhaps he would not have gone over to their bench and said anything or done anything if the umpire just had immediately tossed them out. You nip it in the bud right away. That's why you handle it. You don't let it fester. You don't let it go to review. You're the lead dog. It's your show. You should anticipate what could happen. Dude, are you yawning? Am I boring you that much?
I've been up way too long.
He yawned in my face. Like, why?
I turned my face away from you to yawn.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did.
I'm trying to be polite.
Yeah, you did.
I was trying not to yawn in your face.
Yeah, you did. Okay. I'll give you that.
But I agree with you. Like, you shouldn't have let it fester, and I think they were kind of going to let it, and then they saw how everything exploded and went, okay, we're going to have to throw him out, because if we don't, Kevin Gausman's going to come out and put a ball between somebody's shoulder blades.
But you know what I saw, though? I'll say what the positives were. I love the reaction we got from Brian Snicker. I love the way Nick Markakis reacted after one of his at-bats. I love the way Dansby Swanson responded by hitting the two-run jack. And he's been slumping. So I think that what actually happened has turned into a positive, and it may bring this team even closer together. Y'all laugh, man, but I think this team might be playing baseball in October. I mean that. I mean, I know y'all think I'm tripping, man, but I'm going to say it.
I came into this season. I came into the season looking at this team thinking, this is a team that could be a lot of fun, but I don't necessarily know what they'll win, if they'll win anything, and they might be a year away. Right now, y'all keep going. Play with house money and go far as you can into October. Go for it.
You know, I really brought you here, man. To help me out with this.
Okay.
Keep your mic on.
Yeah.
Coming up next, we have a radio replay from Atlanta United FC. Jeff
Larentowicz. Larentowicz.
Now, see, is it Larentowicz or Larentowicz? Which one? Now, see?
I've always heard Larentowicz.
All right, so, yeah, what he said. We got that coming up next here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. See, you said
it. Pat's going to have a stroke back there.
Listen, you said it. I didn't, man. I knew I was going to struggle with it. That's why I brought you in.
He's going to have a stroke back on the board. I might have to go run the board.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's season two for our Atlanta United.
Catch every minute of the action here.
Lines it forward, a shot, score!
This is Mike Conti, play-by-play voice of Atlanta United. Get ready for all the exciting matchups as season two of Atlanta United is underway. Catch our next match Sunday. Atlanta United hosts Columbus Crew.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Welcome back to the program, man. Sports Trapper Dwayne Walker. Flagship station, our Atlanta Falcons, Hawks, Atlanta United FC, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Speaking of Atlanta United, coming up in a couple minutes, we're going to have Jeff Larentowicz from Atlanta United FC, who stopped by the morning show. Not stopped by the morning show, but he was on the morning show program on Wednesday. And we'll take a listen. It's been a minute since Atlanta United was in action. When was the last time they played, man? It was August 4th. Wow, that's going back, is it not? That's like such a big break. What they had going on? Were they being loaned off to other teams internationally, or was it just like a natural break in the schedule? How does this go, Pat? You know, you're a big soccer fan. Why such a big break?
Well, they had the transfer day for the MLS guys was last Thursday, so that's always a big deal. Then you have the English Premier League starting this past weekend.
So the MLS
kind of does that little thing where they give them their week. But here's the thing. It's Atlanta United's break. There have been plenty of MLS games going on Saturday and Sunday. So it worked. This is kind of their break time because they had the All-Star game, so they had a few more things involved.
Mm. And hopefully, Atlanta United FC, hopefully they use the break for good, to rest up, get re-energized, refocused as they head down the stretch here. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You already knew what I was going to say. 10 games remaining. 10 games remaining. Let's see how many at home. 1, 2, 3, 4 games left at home at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Well, how about that? I just want you to fast forward a little bit to October. Would it not be awesome to have the Braves and Atlanta United FC playing in their respective sports at the same time in October? You know what that would mean, right? That means that our Braves would be making a run into the playoffs. Listen, I'm not trying to put the cart before the horse, but what I am saying is that the moment to seize is now. As the season rolls on, it becomes more tangible. At least it does to me anyway. I can see it happening. All right, now it's radio replay time. As I mentioned before, Jeff Lorenowitz was on the morning program, Jeff, with Atlanta United FC. He was on with the morning show. So let's take a listen right now.
We welcome into the program Jeff Lorenowitz, who joins us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline with John Fricke and Randy McMichael. Morning to you, Jeff.
Good morning, guys.
Hey, Jeff. I mean, after such a long layoff, what have you done for yourself personally to get yourself back, you know, ready to get back in the grind of these things with 10 games left in the season?
Well, it's not often you get a free weekend. I took some time off. We had a couple of days, spent some time with my family, kind of recharge the batteries a little bit, kind of get a mental break away from the game for a few days because we're going into the tough stretch where there won't be many breaks after this. So it's kind of got to recharge and get going again.
We're talking with Jeff Lorenowitz, and you know this team has been so hot over the last few games in terms of putting up results here, and yet you cannot shake the two New York teams, the Red Bulls and FC out of New York, are just right hot on your heels. So you're going to go back into this game against really good Columbus team, and we all know what happened to the playoffs last year, with knowing that you're going to have to you have to put your foot down now.
Yeah. You could tell that the Red Bulls were always going to be they were behind us a bit, but they were behind us in games played, and you knew once they played those games, they were going to come up on our heels, and New York City's been there all year. It's kind of expected. Columbus is obviously the next team in line, and we play them on Sunday, so it's going to be difficult. The final stretch of the year is going to be tough, but this is one of our only home games of the next five, so I think we've got to take care of business to make sure that we're in a good spot against those teams.
Jeff, a phrase that's always used in sports is next man up. Next man up when there's a lot of injuries. And you guys are a little beat up right now, especially in the back end. How have you guys tried to figure that out with so many moving parts and until these guys can get back and you guys can be whole again?
Well, I think it's like you said, the next man up. The whole roster has to be ready. I think we've shown this year that we've got guys that can step up. Obviously, we've lost a few defenders recently. I've been put into the back, so I think that everyone's kind of prepared. Everyone trusts in what the coach is telling us and the preparation before the game for the game plan for the opposing team. So we'll just go into this game like we do every other one and get ready to take care of business at home.
Jeff Lorenowitz joining us this morning on the WadeFord.com hotline with John and Randy Mack. Of course, he's a 5-stripes midfielder / as you just said, defender for this team as they go into this game on Sunday against the Columbus Crew. Randy and I, and before that, Hugh and I, actually, last week, Jeff, we were talking a little bit about, is it important in any way, in your opinion, for somebody else on the team to start scoring besides Joseph?
I think it is important, to be honest. Don't tell Joseph I said that, but I think it is important. At the same time, he's scoring at a pace that is just incredible, and it takes care of business in itself, but you always feel like once you count on it too much, then it could dry up, and you don't want that to happen. But there are other guys creating chances. We have plenty of guys that can score. It just seems like week to week, he's the man on the scorecard. But if we can get other guys contributing, other people chipping in, I think that it's going to make it more well-rounded for the team and harder to defend, because once you start worrying about someone else, then there's Joseph again.
Yeah, no question. I mean, he has been spectacular. So, Jeff Lorenowitz, who's hotter, Joseph Martinez or Ronald Acuna Jr.?
Really, John. Really, John.
Well, we just heard it, 5-5, right? So, I don't know. Joseph's got something like, I don't even know, 40-40. So yeah,
I know. It's insane, isn't it? I mean, the numbers that he puts up.
It's a good time to be an Atlanta sports fan, that's for sure.
It sure is. And the one guy I wanted to talk to you about, because the analysts talk to him, you talk to the analysts, they give their perspective on him. I want to hear from him, player perspective. The new guy, Remedy, he came in as a guy who's a tough guy, hard-nosed defender. Playing with him these last couple matches, what have you seen from him, and what does he bring to the table?
Well, I think he's more than that. I think that a lot of people, when he came in, didn't know much about him, and the easiest thing to kind of latch on to is his competitiveness and kind of how he's a bulldog in the midfield, but he's shown a lot with the ball as well. I think that he's a fine distributor. He gets on it a lot. He'll break up plays as well. So I think he's shown more than people had expected, and that's great. It's good for the team. It's good for everybody. I think it makes us stronger.
Yeah, and of course, if we get some of the guys that have been out back, and, you know, this team is going to have a full component, you know, going down the stretch, and you know, that would be a great thing too. And so just getting everybody kind of back into position here, because, again, we talk about this team, and the discussion has been centered around two things, Jeff. One has been the scoring of Joseph Martinez, of course, and the second has been the failure, the one kind of the Achilles heel, Jeff, is that is the inability of the team to really protect leads, especially in the last 8 to 10 to even 5 minutes of the game.
Yeah, that's certainly something we're aware of, we've been thinking about. When you're scoring so many goals and when you're out in front of games, then it's kind of common to take your foot off the gas, but that's something that you can't do, especially when September, October, November come. So it's something we're going to have to sew up as we go into the end of the year. It's something we're aware of. I think at home as well, we tend to fall behind early or not finish chances early and feel like the game is kind of getting away from us before we pull it back. So it's just about controlling the game, making sure at the end you're really putting your foot down and closing it out. And it's something we're aware of and something that we hope to rectify at the end of the year here.
Jeff, this weekend you guys are taking on the Columbus Crew. You already played them back in June. And is there like a little oomph when you play them guys, considering what happened last year in the playoffs?
No question about it. No question about it. I mean, I think that they're one of the better teams in the league over the last few years. They're a team that plays a somewhat similar style to us. They're a very, very good team, and I think that every time we match up, it seems to be a good game. Obviously, the last year in the playoffs kind of is the pinnacle game for the teams involved. Obviously, for them, they probably think about it less than we do, but it's a team that whenever we go out there, we want to beat. We know that they're going to be in and around us come the end of the year, and the more points we can take from them, the more we can distance ourselves from them, and that's important. You want to be the team to beat in the conference, and beating them twice in the year does that, I think.
Jeff Lorenowitz of Atlanta United with John and Randy Mack this morning. I want to go back to the beginning, kind of end this interview here. We talk about the 2 weeks off, kind of good and bad in that. I mean, we talk about getting healthy and taking a rest and being able to charge up for the final 10 games, but I would imagine at the same time, all of a sudden you find yourselves, here it is Wednesday, the game's not till Sunday, you guys are probably itching to get on the field and play.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, let's be honest here, we've been training every day except for the last the 2 days on the weekend, so we're definitely sharp. I think that getting rested at this point in the year is almost just as important as, you know, maybe getting a big win last weekend. You know, if we can get rest, we can get guys healthy, we can get guys mentally recharged to go in the last part of the year, it's going to be just as good. So it's a good thing that Sunday's at home. I think Sunday is against a top opponent, because everyone will be extra focused, and I think that the rest will do us good, and we'll be ready to go on Sunday.
Do appreciate it, Jeff. We'll all be there and watching. I do appreciate you taking a few minutes.
Appreciate you, Jeff.
Thanks, guys.
Sports Radio 92.9 again. Welcome back to the program. 2 minutes to the top of the hour. Two minutes to the 1 o'clock hour here on Sports Radio 92.9 the game. All right, listen. Have you heard the Atlanta Hawks? They have an expansion team. Well, so to speak. The Hawks announced they are one of four expansion teams for the NBA 2K League. Now, the league grows from 17 to 21. Look, let me just stop. What the hell is the NBA 2K League? Pat, what is the NBA 2K League? What is this? What is this nonsense that I'm uneducated about?
Well, you're going to get educated.
All right.
ESPN's been throwing money around the esports world. In addition to the fact that the NBA has put their full support behind the NBA 2K League. So the ideal is that it's an esports league where you will play a video game team. So our Atlanta Hawks will play the Los Angeles Lakers, and it will be teams of players playing their positions just as if you were actually playing a basketball game, but on a video game.
But who are the players that are actually playing the games?
I don't think you could pick them out of a lineup right now because they're all being determined.
Huh?
We don't know who these players are yet. That has not been announced.
So will the players be professional gamers, or will they actually be the actual players?
You may get the occasional, they'll send an NBA player in to play with them, but that didn't work out well when they tried that earlier. It's only been around for a year, and it's expanding already. So
I'm so out of it. We come back, top of the hour, 1 o'clock, our Ronald Acuña Jr. If you have not heard, man, what happened in the Braves game is going to make national news. They'll be talking about it tomorrow morning for sure. You're listening to Sports Chat with Dwayne Walker on Sports Radio 93.